Welcome to an all-new guest-isode, everybody, of Sig Neutron Sputron. I'm joined with the lovely guest, Rani Rodil. This is a great episode. I'm really stoked. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and me and Rani went through our spiritual awakening together, and she was a big part of it. So we talk about spiritual awakenings, and maybe you've been experiencing some weird synchronicities or just odd things are happening to you that you're like, man, this can't all be coincidence. Well, we're here to tell you that you're not crazy. So I'm here. I'm Sig Neutron, and I'm here with Rani Rodil, and this is Sig Neutron Sputron.
What are you gonna say? Hello, 8-bit breakdown. Leave a lot of lonely motherfuckers.
Rani, thanks for joining me.
It's really nice to be here in my dining area.
Yeah, thanks for making it all the way out here.
Yep, you know, it's a far trek from my bedroom.
Boy, so everybody's been hearing me talk about spiritual awakenings and all this crazy spirit stuff, but I haven't really dove into where it all started, which Rani was a really big part of that. So this episode, we're going to talk about where it all kind of started and what does it all mean? Well, we don't know what it means, but we're trying to figure it out.
We'll spend our whole lives trying to figure out what it means.
Yeah, I guess that's the
point.
And
we'll know when we know, you know?
So, what's crazy, we kind of wanted to do this episode, especially because now we're getting to a point of, like, I would say somewhat of a spiritual understanding. We're getting into flow.
We're not, like, fucking afraid of our lives, yes, thinking we're haunted by a bunch of ghosts.
Yes,
sweet. Yeah, we're in a better spot right now than we were in like, February and March.
Yes, because that was a thing for a while. It has been a crazy couple months.
Try feeling like you're on ecstasy when you're not on ecstasy, and it lasts over a fucking week. I mean, there's got to be some kind of give.
So we really wanted to do this because not only have we been experiencing, like, insano banana stuff, but now our friends are coming to us and they're like saying, man, I had an out of body experience. Like, I'm having all these synchronicities, like, all the strange things are happening. And we're like, oh, girl.
Yeah, hold on. Let me tell you something.
So, all right. So where do we even begin? Well, all of this happened. All the craziness really kicked off when we went to New Orleans.
Yeah. I've heard it's a portal of sorts, and I now believe that. It's insane. Spirits are high there in New Orleans, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, everything that I've always had an attraction to New Orleans, and I've always wanted to go, and everything that I heard about it or thought about it was like, it was all that and more.
So magical. Yeah, and it's crazy, because I always wanted to go, like, my whole life, and we just so happened to go together, like, for the first time as adults. Like, had done shit, had been gone through all of our things, and we somehow both made it to New Orleans at the same time.
Jinx.
Synchronicities.
Yep. So that's, so we'll get to, all right, so in New Orleans you started picking up some like psychic channeling stuff.
Yeah.
But let's back up a little bit. Like, through your whole life, what's your experience with the paranormal and psychic been like?
So, you know, pretty much my whole life I've been sensitive. I'm an empath. I can feel people's emotions. I'm like a light to broken people. Like, random people will come up to me and tell me their life story at a party. Like, it happens every single time.
I've seen it happen so many times. Like, where someone will just be like, hi, nice to meet you, Randy. Oh, and by the way, this deep, dark secret thing.
Yeah. Like, things that you would never tell someone you just met. Even, like, at a concert that happened.
Yep, I remember that, too.
Yeah, so I was always just, like, I was drinking to kind of, like, numb that. It was, you know, very... It was kind of tough to grow up as me, just not really understanding, like, why I would feel so emotional when I would go to events or be around people. And also, you know, I guess we could just start there. I've just always been an empath, and I've always heard, like, I think I've always kind of been sort of clairaudient, but didn't understand what that meant. I always just thought it was me saying things to myself, so... Yeah, clairaudience is actually the being able to hear spirit.
Yeah, and again, this is another reason why we're doing this, is because a lot of people out there, I think that they have psychic abilities and things that they're not even aware of, and they think it's depression
or they're crazy.
Like, we live in a society that doesn't embrace these gifts because a lot of people don't believe they exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads to people to thinking they're crazy and often self-medicating with, you know, alcohol or drugs.
Self-medicating or taking medications that are given to them that are not necessarily great for their spirituality or their health.
Yeah, because our society, again, it's like Western medicine looks very externally at the world, which that's a part of it. Don't get me wrong. Like, Western medicine is very important. But also, we have to look internally, too. Like, Eastern medicines, like, if the true balance comes from balancing both the mental and the physical. But, I mean, that's a whole other topic about antidepressants and stuff. But I think that it's a Band-Aid for a much larger problem that lies in a spiritual nature. But, so, okay, so you've always been an empath. And did you have any, let's say, like, paranormal experiences growing up?
Yeah, well, one paranormal experience is just kind of creepy, but to me it's not that creepy. Is I would always see this veil, like this woman wearing a veil, like you could just see her eyes, and she would always be like just watching me, and it would scare the shit out of me as a kid. And one day I told my mom as an adult, I was like, there was always this lady watching me. She always wore a veil. My mom's like, oh, that was probably your grandma, her grandma. So she's like, my grandma was actually murdered by my grandpa. And she had, for a long time, she had no nose because he cut it off out of jealousy. So she would always wear a veil.
Wow.
So that was probably just your grandma or my grandma watching after you. And I was like, oh, that's kind of fucking sad and scary and weird. But
in a sense, kind of comforting.
Kind of comforting. Because like as a kid, I was scared of it, but I knew it wasn't going to, the woman wasn't going to hurt me, but it was just kind of creepy. Like, just like, ugh, she's there again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I think, again, as we open up with our friends about this, we realize that a lot of them have certain experiences too. And some of our friends, I think it's an ability to be able to contact the dead. And I think some people are, in a sense, like channels or somehow have an open connection. And, you know, now everything that's happened to us now makes what happened to you as a kid make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
So, all right. So the empath, and then you've had that experience. And then we go to New Orleans. Oh, boy. It kicked off. It just a completely new chapter.
And
in
Mama
our lives.
Got a new pair of shoes.
Yeah,
New Orleans.
Sure did. I feel like I can't even say it started a new chapter in our life. We're in a completely different book.
I've lived 20 lifetimes since February. Like, no joke. It has been spiritual boot camp of sorts. Very crazy. So,
yeah.
I guess I could start with when we were in New Orleans. Just one morning, should I start with the seeing that woman and her just giving her a hug?
Or? Yeah, let's start with that.
Okay.
So we, again, this is like so many synchronicities, and this blows up to bigger than just ghosts and stuff. So
yeah.
We'll get there. But The odd part is we're in New Orleans, and I did a makeup on Rani. I turned her into a bearded lady mystic with her third eye
open. I had a third eye.
So that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead.
So we are heading out of a club, and I see this woman in a carriage. She's older than me. And
it's like a bicycle thing that just pulled up right to where you were standing.
Yeah, she just pulled up, and I felt called to just go up to her. And I go up to her, and just straight up to her, and like grab her, and I was holding her, and I remember clearly thinking, I'm looking into my, like, her beautiful brown eyes, and I'm comforting her, and I'm like, everything's gonna be all right, child. I'm gonna take care of it for you. And as I said that, I started seeing like a purple mist around me. And in my head, I'm like, dude, what the fuck did I just say? That's kind of weird. That woman's crying. And then
I'm filming this because I'm filming for another project. I was doing a dumb video about like starting a cult that was kind of a joke. But see, it's like I had that inkling to be filming already. So something wanted me to be filming this.
Yeah. And so it's all filmed.
Yeah. So we have all this filmed and we're actually like putting this into, I'm making a docu-series about it, which is going to be really exciting. So I'm filming and then...
mind you, this woman's like much older than me too. And I'm calling her child and I felt like she was like my baby.
Yep. And then I talked to her friend that's in the little carriage with her and then the driver. And then I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now. And we're all like, we don't know what's happening either. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep filming. And then her friend told me that her mom or father had just passed away or something.
Yeah, the woman that I was hugging.
Yeah.
Her mother had just passed away.
And she was, like, really distraught about it. And somehow, like, Rani immediately knew this. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't know it at the time, actually. I knew it. Like, I just felt like I was her mother.
Well, yeah, I told Rani that afterwards.
Yeah.
She didn't know. Because she was, like, in a trance. It was crazy.
Yeah, I was holding her. And she was crying. And then she said, thank you. I understand.
The lady
thank you
just
so
like,
much
yeah.
for this. And she's shaking, and then...
She just, like, got it. Like, whatever, like, random meeting a stranger on a street, and then she just, like, got it.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Then I was like, are they doing some sort of voodoo shit on me? Like, what the fuck is going on? How do they know, like, to just stop right in front of me? And then, like, I offer my services, and then I see a purple smoke. What the fuck just happened? You know, like, there's so many emotions. I was like, happy that I did that, but then also I was like, wait, why did I do that? Like, what possessed me to do that?
Yeah. So we think, all right, that's kind of weird, but, you know, we're quirky people, so we're just
drinking, having
whatever.
Fun, like, whatever. On to the next adventure.
How crazy was that, huh?
Yeah, that was weird. Okay.
Didn't think that was going to be the start of our completely new life.
So
we wake up next morning.
Yeah, we wake up the next morning, and then it's weird because I start hearing, like, I'm walking to the restroom. I can't really see because I'm not wearing my glasses. I'm very blind. Very blind eyes. So I'm walking to the restroom, and I hear my voice in my head, or a voice in my head saying, oh, poor thing, she's blind. She can't see very well. We're going to help her with that. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck am I saying to myself that I'm like, I've lived with being blind since I was like 6 years old, so this is nothing new. And then I start calling Sig like young man, and I have a fucking like a really dope New Orleans accent.
It was like legit.
Yeah, I was like calling him.
She doesn't really do a lot of accents.
Yeah, I don't do accents. I wish I could do that accent, but it was like, I was just like calling him young man and telling people good day and like good afternoon, like with an accent.
She's like everybody we would see, she'd like almost like a tip of the hat, like afternoon.
I would talk about how young kids, like we were in like an Uber, and I'd talk about how young kids just can't keep their faces out of their phones and they don't know how to pay attention these days. And the driver's like, and I'm like, it was fucking.
I'm just sitting there like, who are you and what did you do with Danny?
Yeah, and it was crazy because like I wasn't afraid. Like I don't know, I just felt like, okay, this is, I'm like taking a back seat. It's almost like when you hear your own voice and you have your own dialogue in your head, but I knew it wasn't me like making the words come out of my mouth, but I didn't feel unsafe. I was just going with the flow. I was like, okay, if anything gets weird, I'm gonna take control again. And I was you know, walking and controlling my body on my own, but I know that when I was speaking at times it was that an entity or two entities.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like masculine and feminine energies.
Yeah, and so basically we were guided through. We had our own tour guides in New Orleans. We didn't look anything up.
Yeah, I didn't look anything
just
up.
Like, I would be like, "What are we doing now?" And then Rain's like, "The streets will take us where we want to go."
Yeah,
and
that's how I was like,
"Oh my gosh, okay."
It was so funny, dude. Like, I don't even. I was just like, "The streets will take us where we're gonna go."
And they fucking did.
Yeah, we went. We hit up all these like random cool bars
that people were just sort of almost like they were waiting there to talk to us.
Yeah, they knew what I wanted to drink. I was like, "Oh, could I get a gin and soda?" And they're like, "Oh, you mean a double?" And I'm like, "Fuck yeah! How'd you know?"
And then like, it's crazy because, I just totally lost my train of thought.
Silence, mortal. So we just ended up like all the places that we would have wanted to go to without even having to worry about fumbling with directions and looking at our phones for it.
Oh yeah.
And I really wanted to go see Marie Laveau's like her gravesite, and we just so happened to like we were like wandering around, and then we finally got like an Uber, and he took us there. And the guy's like, "Oh, were you ready?"
We literally step. The car stops right in front.
Right
of
in front
the thing.
Of it. Yeah.
We step out, and right when we step out, the guy was like, "Oh, were you guys taking the Marie Laveau tour?" And we're like,
"This is the last." He's like, "This is the last tour of the day."
And
we're
I was
like,
literally just about to walk in, and we're like, "Why, yes, we were here."
Yes. Yeah. Because I didn't even know you had to like do a tour to see it or whatever to get into the cemetery. So, yeah, that was like perfect timing.
And what I was going to say about like how all this is crazy is that my joke cult that I was going to start was all about human interaction. And
human
just, like,
interaction.
Talking to people, because we're always out in public and places, and everybody that you're around is living a life that's just as complicated and interesting as yours. But like, we don't even see people anymore. We just kind of, you know, they're just, they're just there. They're background noise.
Yeah.
So I was all about like, and this is before all this crazy stuff started happening. So it's like something gave me the idea to already start this, and then it morphs into this. So now, instead of filming a documentary about starting a joke cult, I start documenting this experience that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
And so we leave the Marie Laveau's thing, and we go into a gas station. And
when we were at the Marie Laveau Cemetery, I felt like a really radiating presence. It was like really interesting. Like I was just like, I don't know. I just felt like really good, like that wavy, warm feel. It was fucking cold too, but I felt like really warm inside, and like, I don't know. I felt like something was happening when I was there. Mm. But yeah, that was just a nice little add-on.
So we leave, and we're walking out of the gas station, and this like huge, like scary dude that's like tattoos all over his face. His head is like bloody.
Yeah.
And he was like homeless. His eyes were
yellow,
like yellow
eyes. He just looked
and
like.
And then he was like talking real close to us. And
yeah. He was getting very like close to Sig. And I was like, the voice was like, "Young man, you need to sit down." Like really aggressively.
And then like soon as she said that, he'd like snapped into this weird trance. Like she like. Her eyes were like she almost like glamored him or something.
Yeah, and he looks at me, and I'm looking at him like he's a little boy. He's probably a little bit older than me, but like really run down looking. And I'm like, "You need to sit down, young man." And he's like, he looks at me like shocked, like afraid.
And then he starts crying, and he's like, "You know, I do need to sit down."
Yeah.
It was like she told him the most profound thing.
Yeah, I told
ever.
Him to sit. And then I said, "Is there something you need to tell me?" And he says, "I killed a man." And I was like,
"We're like, what the?
You most certainly did." And then I was like, "Now you go and sit down." And Sig gave him like a $5 bill.
And yeah, and she was like, "No," she was like, "You go get you something warm to drink or eat, and then you go sit down."
Yeah, I said, I was going to say that.
Sorry.
Yeah, I said, "You need to go get yourself something warm to drink and sit down." And he's like, "I do." And then he looks up at me and he says, "Are you Jesus?" And I was like, with that like sassy, was that voice? It was like, "He thinks I'm Jesus." And I would start walking away. It was like really fucking like. That, like, normal me would have been fucking terrified.
And then I looked
guy.
Back, and, he got himself something to drink, and he went and sat on the curb.
Yeah, and he's just, like... sitting on the curb, drinking some coffee or something. It was insane.
Like, and then after that, like, everybody that we would talk to, we would go to, we'd cash out, or, you know, the checkouts or something. And, like, people, anytime anyone would look at her, they would be, like, hypnotized.
Yeah, they were like confused. Like, yeah. Did I just see something? Like, it was really strange. But I was enjoying it because I'm like, dude, whatever it is that's with me is like fucking like badass. Like,
and it was like, I mean, I was pretty fucking weirded out, but also like the presence just seemed, it just had such a, it had a way of making you, it wasn't just, I don't know, you like, you know how you like feel someone's energy sometimes? Like
your gut tells you like an energy is bad or good.
Or if somebody is like really angry next to you and you feel like a real person, you know, like especially like you're, someone you're close to, you can mm-hmm. feel when they're angry. It's kind of like that. And you just, this presence just gave off like a really warm,
like
inviting,
peaceful,
like
yeah.
protective. Like we felt safe. Like I wasn't yeah. scared of that guy. I wasn't scared of just wandering New Orleans. Like, I just felt like something yeah. had our backs.
Yeah, normally I'd be, like, gripping my purse, hiding things in many pockets, because I get paranoid when I walk around. And with this energy of, around me or with me, I felt, like, safe. I felt like I had, like a two guardians, like a mom and a dad with me just walking me around, and mm-hmm. they knew exactly where we were supposed to go, so I wasn't worried about where we were going.
So that's when the timing started, like the synchronicities. We were always somehow were exactly where yeah. we needed to be, exactly when we needed yeah. to be there. And then, so the spirits are telling you that, because before this, before New Orleans, Rani had taken an interest in spirituality. She,
yeah, you know, was taking some crystal classes and learning a little bit here and there, but never anything like this, yeah. you know. This is like next level, like, you know, you learn how to walk up some steps and then all of a sudden you're in an airplane and they're like, okay, it's time to jump out now. Like, what? One thing led to another.
Yeah. So, and then basically the spirits were saying they were going to come back to LA with us and that Rani was going to help them cross over.
Yeah, that was that was the thing they had initially told me. And I was like, okay, like, I could do that. Like I don't fucking know any of this stuff. But, you know, in our industry, it's like you fake it till you make it. It's like, man, I could Google this shit.
So we get back home and we think that, and then, you know, they just start showing us how to, like, energetically clean the house.
Yeah, they, like really, like, they showed me the power of Florida water.
All under the guise that we were cleaning the house for this ritual to help them pass over.
Yeah, so we're scrubbing all the walls with, like, cleaner and then putting Florida water and cleaning everything and then, like, saging all these rooms and, like, exercise some, like, ghost lady that was living in my son's room that, like, is crazy because...
Which story about that?
Yeah. Is,
so that room, any of our guests that have ever come over, they've been really wary about. And that room is just like no bueno.
Yeah.
And, so the
that room, like, it was like people would either like not want to sleep in it, like they're like, never mind, I'll just sleep on the couch, I'll end up on the couch, or they'll like stay in there and then they won't want to leave.
They'll sleep all day.
Like, it's crazy. It's like slowly sucking the life out of them or something, I don't know. But yeah, those entities helped me exercise her. Like, it was funny too the way they did it. I was like, I think she must have been like an old white lady because our house is very old and they're like, don't be confused. I'm like saging and trying to like make her go out the door and she wasn't like leaving. And they're like, did you know that this house is owned by Chinese?
Yeah, it's not like you want to live in a house.
You want to live in a house. It's not owned by you. It's owned by the Chinese. And then she just kind of left. And I was like, whoa, like, is there some racism going on here? Oh, yeah. Shit. Like,
we had a racist ghost.
We had a racist ghost in our house. No wonder some people didn't like that room. Woo. You don't have white eyes. If you don't have blue eyes, she's like, mm-mm, no. But yeah, that was crazy. And then I did that sage. She finally went out, and then we closed the door, and then we, like, a few minutes later, we hear, like, on the window.
Right after, it was like someone was tapping their nails on the glass. It was
and
so
they were
creepy.
Like, that's her, but she's not coming back, and she's going to find her way. And I was like, oh, shit, that was intense.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did a lot of spiritual cleansing. It took like literally three months to like actually finish cleaning this house. It was insane.
And what kept us like cleaning and listening is that anytime we'd need to go out, get supplies or anything, like a parking spot right in the front would open up, and then we were just, again, every single place that we needed to be exactly when we needed to be there.
Yeah.
And then we started noticing crazy synchronicities on the clock.
Yep, numbers, 333.
And with, then they started... Yep.
444.
So then apparently Randy was working with lots of different energies, and mm-hmm. they started introducing themselves by numbers.
Yep. And Papa Legba was 333 initially. He was like one of the original homies in the crew.
Yep. And, you know, Papa Legba's always... We could do a whole episode on Papa Legba.
Three is a portal number as well, so it makes sense that three would be his number.
Papa Legba opens the doorways of communication, so yeah.
He's like...
He's also like Hermes, too. Yeah. So basically, then they started showing me... I've always had an interest in theology and... you know, mythology, and they started showing me all of these different mythologies and theologies and how they interrelate and how it's universal energies working under different banners depending on the cultural lens in which they're viewed from.
Yeah.
And so that's where I started around this time. Episode 2 of this podcast actually is right when all of this stuff started happening. So I think that one's a little rambly, but I was like, so many things are happening and I was just trying to make sense of it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm glad that I've been documenting this through the podcast, which I know that's no accident. So it's like, you can kind of, as you listen to the episodes of the Irreverentism, you can kind of document my journey from this.
I mean, we're still learning so much.
Absolutely.
Like,
there's always more to learn.
There's something to learn, which is exciting, you know, who wants to not be learning something every day of their life?
But basically, they've taught us a language of context with numbers and then feelings. So it's like, it's not just, you don't look at the clock and see like 11:44 and then, oh, that's cool. It's 2 fours, you know. You look at it and then you feel something when you see the number. So it's a visual accompanied by a feeling. And if these are things that you're experiencing, there's probably a good chance because without the rate in which our friends are talking to us about it, like, a lot of people are having spiritual awakenings now. Yep. So if you start experiencing some of this stuff, you're not crazy. This is something that it's magical and it's amazing and it's something to be excited about.
Yeah. There's too much, like, in the beginning of all of this, I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was going crazy because I'm actually clairaudient and I can see the numbers and I can hear them telling me specific things. So it's like, in the beginning, I was like, I'm just crazy. Like, they're telling me to do these weird things, which is not bad. They weren't telling me to do anything bad. They got me clean. I stopped drinking. Like, I'm, like, sober now. I eat better. Like, it's basically like I got possessed by Mary Poppins. Like, oh, shit. Thank you for changing my life, Mary Poppins.
Absolutely.
So I initially thought I was even though I was making good changes, like we were starting to tell some people and I still felt like, you know, I don't really have any like real proof. Like this is just weird shit. Like we got sober and good things are happening, you know. Mm-hmm. But then there were a lot of things that started happening where it's like, there's no...
It's just undeniable.
Yeah. Like for one example, one story, my favorite story.
Your chicken story.
My chicken story.
You love that chicken story.
Yeah. My daughter was sick and I was praying to, I was guided to pray to, healing God and his, he's represented by a chicken/rooster. So I'm praying to this God and he guides me to the kitchen and tells me to like, and this is fucking weird, right? But I'm like, I'm just doing it because I'm like, what can I lose if I'm listening to this voice? So they're like, had me cut a couple of potatoes in half and a lemon and then bury it in the backyard. And I'm like, okay. So this was my life. Like, I was just like listening to these voices. It was crazy.
Well, also, didn't you get the idea to cut the potatoes up? Because I was guided back to some... I used to do automatic writing when I was 16. And I was in this weird phase of my life that didn't really understand a lot of things that I was doing. Mm-hmm. But I wrote down my dreams and I was a vegetarian. But I wrote something about like split the eye born from the ground. And I had just been guided back to that. And then somehow that tied into, I forget exactly.
No, but that you tied that in later. They literally told me, get these potatoes that you bought.
Because I knew there was a link there.
And then you told me that later. So I was like, that's pretty fucking cool. Yeah. Okay. So I got there. Yeah.
It's been crazy.
It was so many fucking things have happened. So yeah, so I got there. I bury these potatoes in the lemon like a crazy person. Like, okay, thank you for telling me what to do. And then, so my daughter calls me like, I don't know, 5 minutes later, and she's like, Mom, I don't know what to do. No, she texts me, Mom, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to get rid of this laundry basket, put it outside my gate, or across from my
gate.
She
lives in this part of L.A.
Yeah, she lives in Culver City. Like, it's like the city. She puts it outside, and then she's like, and then someone pushed it back against my gate, and look what's inside of it. And she sent me this picture. She opens it. There's a fucking live chicken in her basket. And I'm like, oh, save that chicken. I don't know why. We need this chicken or something. And then, like, the gods were like, one thing led to another, and the gods were like, no, that just means that they heard your prayer, and your prayer has been answered. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So, but I was in my head, I was thinking I was going to be raising a chicken. And this was like during Monster Palooza, so I'm like, oh God, we got to get this chicken, and then we got to finish our shit for Monster Palooza.
So, coincidence, maybe, but how unlikely is that you know, she did this ritual, and a chicken out of nowhere just so happens to be delivered by some random stranger.
It wasn't like a rotisserie chicken that someone threw away in a basket. No. Yeah,
it was a live chicken.
And she was adorable.
Yeah. The live chicken delivered to the exact person that was being prayed for to be helped out by something represented by a chicken.
Yeah. And I felt like this like warm, like sensation, like your prayer has been answered. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about the chicken, because I was like, do I need the chicken? You know? Don't worry about the chicken. That just means that the prayer has been answered. Just like weird things that.
And then another synchronicities. So we were, as they're kind of guiding us and teaching us about mythologies and things like that, we come to the realization that they're showing us that, you know, mankind hasn't updated the way they thought about the spirit realm in like thousand of years. You know,
yeah, it's so outdated. Like, yeah, that's what they wrote back then, but that was just so people back then could understand spirituality.
Because I used the example before too. It's like, think about trying to explain something like a virtual reality or something or a video game to people back then. It's like, our technology is helping us to understand the nature of our reality so that we can better interface with the spirit.
I mean, like, here's a good example on this mug that I have from Blackcraft Cult. This is a verse from the Bible. Thou shalt not boil a child in its mother's milk. Exodus 23:19. You know, if that's not fucking outdated, I don't know. I mean, maybe that was a thing back then.
Well,
I don't know.
In addition to it being outdated, it's been translated and retranslated and like omissions added and everything. And a lot, and the church hid a bunch of books. So we've never had an actual clear picture in our lifetime of what it means to be spiritual.
Yeah.
And it's always been convoluted by man or some kind of confusion.
Yeah.
And what they're showing us is that, and they're telling us too, like the gods learn too.
Yeah.
Like it's a never ending thing of learning, because think about if you just knew everything, like what would you even be if you were something?
Part of existence is learning and creating. It's like the huge part of existence. Mm-hmm. And if the gods were just knew everything and everything was fucking perfect and they weren't changing and they were just like stuck in their old ways, then they would be living unfulfilling existences. Yeah. So why wouldn't they change with man?
Yep. And then again, it goes back to my point that I make, is like everybody talks about heaven, but nobody talks about what you do when you get there. Like you just float around and chill on clouds and
keep eating bread.
I guess I'll pick up playing the harp. That's what these dudes do. But no, it's like there's always something to be done. There's always things to be learned. And this is why we need to get past all of the dogma and the bullshit that mankind has created around religion.
Yeah.
And we need to get back to our own personal spirituality, because it's something that is the birthright of everyone.
Yeah.
And that's why people feel so out of touch and so depressed and so, you know, just messed up, because they're missing that link. Mm-hmm. They're disconnected from.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, spirituality is so personal. It's so different from person to person. Like everyone is different. And, you know, all the religions that exist are right in a way, because that is a way that you can connect with spirit, you know, if it resonates with you. But if it doesn't resonate with you, it doesn't mean that you should just like, you know, like dismiss spirituality. It just means you need to find your own way.
Yeah. And what we're learning is that your personal spiritual path perfectly aligns with what you actually want to do in life.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make monsters. I want to make films and movies. And like, as I am working towards that goal of my life, I'm also learning spiritually too, because it's my experience is tailored. It's supposed to be that way. I'm supposed, like, once you align with your true purpose, then your spiritual like nature aligns too. And then you're just going with this wonderful flow of life.
Mm-hmm.
And
also, and your spirituality will change throughout your life. You know, it's not like you pick a god and then you're just stuck.
Nope.
It's like, no, you work with those energies. You can work with Papa Legba if you want doors open. And then you can work with, you know, the god of lightning for speed and victory. Or you could work with, like, they're just different energies. And I don't want to say God. Gods are easy for people to understand. They're like the avatars, a face.
Yeah.
It's like a face of an energy.
God is what I call. Yeah, because it's the only way that we can understand something so vast and wonderful is that we have to define it, because there's a lot of abstract concepts that are almost undefinable. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, that's why it's and you don't have to know the names of the deities or anything like that. You can just think of it as the universe. Like, you just have to think of it as a sentient something that is looking out for you and also, you know, hindering you for your own growth. But I lost my train of thought on that.
Yeah, well, I think that maybe the story you were getting to was we were talking about how the gods have changed with man, along with man. And actually, when we came to that realization, we were working on, like, what, Paperheads or something for a music video.
We were just sitting there.
We were just sitting there talking, and we're like, why wouldn't the gods have changed with man? Right when we said that, my daughter calls me, and she goes, "Mom, go outside. There are tons of butterflies outside right now." I don't know if anyone from LA is listening and they remember that, but we came to that, like, we saw that. My daughter's like, she's talking to me, she's like, "There's tons of butterflies outside, go outside." So I'm like, okay. And she's like, "What does it mean? What does it mean when you see butterflies?" And I said, "Butterflies represent transformation, Angie." And then I was just like,
"Holy shit, what did you just say before she came off?"
Yeah, I'm like on my knees outside, like, "Thank you for the message. It's loud and clear. The gods have transformed with man." And it was just a really, really spiritual moment for me. It was very beautiful.
Yeah. And
I know other people were like, "I got butterflies all in my car and my windshield wipers."
No, I shed a few tears. It was a magical, beautiful moment.
I think I took video of it.
Yeah. So. And, you know, that's...
And that's a story personal to us. It's like we all experience our spirituality in our own different ways, and it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. And if you start thinking of the spirit realm as something that's learning alongside with you, and you're a part of this great collaboration of life and creating existence, then everything becomes magical. Mm-hmm. And you don't feel so disconnected, you don't feel so lost, and you don't feel so alone, because you're never truly alone.
You're most certainly not. You have your ancestors, you have the elements, whatever you want to call it, but you just have a whole team of spirits that are around you, rooting for you.
Oh, that was my point that I was going to make, is that, it's, again, with irreverentism, I say it's up to you how deep you want to get into spirituality, but if you're living practically, then you're still, like... you're still giving energy and you're still working with the spirit realm, whether you know it or not. So some people might not care to know the names of the deities and work with them on a deeper level. That's totally fine.
Yep.
But some people, like I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. Like, I like to learn them, their names, and I work with them and in different ways and things. But Rani is much more deeper, and she does a lot more ritual and things like that, which that works for her. And
yeah,
that's great.
I was told that this is like my life path. This is something I've done multiple lifetimes. And as crazy as all of this shit sounds, like working with energies and deities and hearing voices, nothing has ever made so much sense in my life. Like now, at this point in my life, I've seen it all. I've done so much shit. I haven't seen it all, but I've seen so much shit. I've been through so much shit. And this makes sense. Like, it's like I'm like, I have a relationship with my ancestors, with the deities, and it feels good because I feel like good things are happening for me. I'm like healthier, happier. I used to be a very anxious person. I used to have a tough time sleeping at night. Like, I would, or any little sound would wake me up, and then I just wouldn't be able to go back to sleep, and I'd just be staring at my phone. You know, like, I have a lot of friends who are like that, but it's like, now that I have my spirit guides and my ancestors with me, I can sleep easy. I have no problem sleeping.
Same thing with me. Like, when all this started happening, like, I mean, Rani is, like, literally talking like someone else, and we're just following this thing, and then we're just, like, listening to these.
I was just watching videos from it, like, yesterday, and I'm like, holy shit, I sounded so cool. Like,
yeah, and we're just, like, we're
weird.
Listening to these voices that Rani is hearing, and then again, something about it felt so right, and then the more we followed it, now I know why. It's because we have reconnected with the spirit realm, and that was something that my entire life I was always missing too, because I always just had severe feelings of alienation, and I didn't understand why I was here, and, you know, and which that somehow led to a deep, like, 5 to 6 year long depression and unhealthy relationship with alcohol, and, you know, that once I really tried to stop drinking because I knew it was bad for me. But the only time that I was able to actually truly give it up was once I truly learned and reconnected it with the spirit realm.
Yeah.
And I realized that's what I had been missing this whole time.
Yeah. Just raising our vibration, eating healthy and not drinking. It's like me today versus me last year. Holy shit.
Even us insane. Like just 6 months ago.
I would not have been able to be recorded and like without being like, okay, I need a shot. Mm-hmm. Do you want a shot with me? That would have been us.
Yep. Yeah, we would have only been probably like five shots before we even started.
Yeah,
this
we would have been like, oh, sloppy. And then I would have been like, just forget it. I don't like listening to it. I feel disgusted with myself.
Yeah. You're doing great.
Yeah,
like, this is like a great flow of a conversation.
This feels right. It's nice.
This feels right.
This feels sweet. Yeah, so I started working with my ancestors. They came into the picture and they were telling me like I needed to put up a psychic boundary because I was letting entities like hop in and just like basically talk through me. And they're like, well, we wanted to watch you do that, but now you know what it feels like, but now you have to put up a psychic barrier. And it was weird. It never occurred to me to do that. And I vocally put up a psychic barrier the way they told me to. And all the fucking voices and noises that I had heard in my head, like my whole fucking life, they were gone. It was like, whoa. And I just started crying. I just felt so good. I just felt like I can hear my own voice. And my own voice is very beautiful. Like I just like had this very profound moment of like, strength and like just knowing that like, and it didn't feel alone because I just knew that if I needed to call on them, they would be there for me. But they're like, it's not okay that you're hearing it all the fucking time. It's like, that's not normal. That was my normal. Now I know that like, this is where I should be.
And this is what the profound realizations that we're coming to is that we always, as humans, we have these deep depressions and issues that we don't know how to deal with. So we look externally for maybe other people or like drugs or something to fill up our lives that make us feel better. But really all of the answers and all the ways to fix yourself are by looking inside. And that's where you find like deep fulfillment and profound like truth is inside. It's not outside of you. So what would you say? So even if our listeners are listening to this and they're not like super on board with the spirit realm yet or anything, I know a lot of people, even whether or not they believe in the spirit realm or not, they are very much, they know what it feels like to be an empath and they know how terrible and draining that can be and socially awkward. So what advice can you give some empaths so that they can help not?
Oh, advice for empaths. Well, yeah. I mean, maintenance is being sensitive and hearing voices or not even hearing voices, just feeling other people's emotions. You have to have maintenance daily. Like I sage at the end of the day to release any negative energy. If I feel things aren't right, I'll sage. Like a smoke is a good way to like kind of release things into the veil. That's the way I want to describe it. But just a good way to release negative energy and believing in yourself and putting up psychic barriers, like just telling, whatever things that you're hearing, like you have to be like, no, close the door. It's not happening right now.
I think it's important to know too that like,
it's raise not your vibration. Eat healthy and raise your vibration. It's really important if you're an empath to eat healthy. I'm sorry, you can't like, you can't just be not taking care of your body.
Have your little cheat days every now and then.
Yeah, but you have to take care of yourself because that strengthens you. You have to strengthen your mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things.
And you have to know that the things that you might hear, like energies come in the forms of feelings too, very intense. And I think it's very important for us to realize that the feelings that we feel aren't always our own. And that's really something that I really want people to know. Because mm-hmm. once I learned that, it was a game changer. Because when all this stuff started happening, I was feeling all kinds of fucking ways. Like, mm-hmm. I'd be sad one minute, I'd be super happy in another, I'd be really angry in another minute. And I was like, what is even happening to me? Because I have no reason to feel all of these sort of ways, but I'm feeling them very intensely. And then finally, when it dawned on me that these aren't my feelings, these are the way feelings are the ways that the spirit realm can interact with us. Mm-hmm. It's feelings are the universal language.
Yeah.
They don't, you don't need words. You know, a feeling can be a million different meanings, you know?
Yeah.
So always know that if you're feeling certain ways, those, and you don't have a reason to feel that way, those feelings might not be yours. And treat them as such.
Yeah, they could be someone else's shadow projected upon you, or it can be, you know, the collective shadow. If you're not feeling right, and, you know, you don't know why everything good is everything's going good in your life, it could be just like the collective shadow. And you can, you know, do maintenance and release these things because they don't belong to you. You just have to tell yourself that these things don't belong to you.
Mm-hmm. And that's a problem that a lot of people make too.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm just a shitty person. I'm always sad. I'm always depressed.
There must be something wrong with me.
You're not sad. You are not that. That is how you feel. But you can take those feelings and put it in a box somewhere else, or release it. Don't put it in a box. That's weird.
Yeah.
Release it. You know, it's not yours.
Yeah, and I think this is a big topic that we could really crack into for like a whole episode or
something.
Yeah,
that can be something else.
We'll come back and revisit that. But for now, if you're feeling very sore of ways for no reason, the biggest mistake that you can make is believe that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because you might just actually have a gift.
Yeah, and the only thing that's wrong with you is that you think there's something wrong with you, and you're not trying to fix it, or you're not trying to change the things that can be changed. Anyone can be changed. Anyone can be fixed. Mm-hmm. They just have to believe it.
Yeah. We're all very powerful divine beings. We have the spark of the divine.
You don't have to hear the ghosts and the spirits like I do to be able to actively change your life, you know. Mm-hmm. That being said, though, like it is good if you're having trouble with it to find a spiritual mentor to help you.
Mm-hmm. And
that's why people like, you know, priestesses and, you know, spiritual people have existed throughout history.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna have Rani on a lot more regularly now, because, like I said, we're finally getting to a point where we don't know everything, but we're getting a handle on just the insanity that our life has been.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to help other people, especially now, because like I said, something big is happening.
Yeah,
I think
a lot
of people are waking up.
That's one thing that the energies are telling me. There's a huge shift going on in the world right now. And I think that coincides with a lot of the people that we know having their own spiritual awakenings.
Yep.
So
it's good to
strengthen yourselves spiritually and mentally.
And I can say with 100% certainty, if you're listening to this right now, there's no accident that you're listening to it right now. That means that something in this podcast is resonating with you, and it's something you needed to hear, because they've shown us there are no accidents or coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
We have free will, but anything that happens to us is very particularly meant and has a meaning in our lives. So the fact that you're here listening to this, maybe you've already been experiencing something. You're like, oh my God, finally somebody is like, it thinks like I'm not crazy. This is validation that I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what we thought. If I didn't have Rani going through this, like we would both think that we were in. We actually questioned our double sanity.
Yeah, we're like, dude, were we like, did someone like put some acid in our tobacco or something? Because everything is so weird. It literally felt like we were on ecstasy, and like things were wavy and weird, or acid, yeah, both, like at different times depending on the energies. It was terrifying, but, you know, still interesting. I don't know, I'm a fun person. I'll try anything once. But be feeling like you're on acid for like a whole fucking week is terrifying.
Yeah. So another important thing to remember for if you are having your own spiritual awakening is that you're gonna have a lot of some emotions are gonna come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna be a roller coaster, but know that it is worth it. And like,
yeah, you gotta like air out those wounds. You can't just cover them up, man.
Yeah, because I think we've been so out of touch with our spirituality for so long that we've basically been born into a tangled spiritual mess. And now it's up to us, especially with the guidance of the spirit realm, to untangle that.
Yep.
Which brings me to the ancestors. So
yeah,
so there's deities and energies and spirit guides but now there's also a big part of what makes us up is our ancestors.
Our ancestors, they're all here for us. And it's unfortunate that people these days, especially like in America, they don't really celebrate or try to help their ancestors. They don't even think about their ancestors. But I'm telling you, it's a real thing. Like you, yeah. like you're. Well, sometimes people have mental health, or not just mental health issues, just health issues in general, and it can stem from like patterns of, you know, family lines. And I started working with my ancestors, and they're awesome. Like they've changed my life. My ancestors have helped me feel mentally stable, like happy. They have taught me to start throwing bones. I didn't think I was going to start throwing bones as a form of divination, but that's what they got me into. They're like, no, you're doing this. You're going to start reading people's, you're doing readings. And I would have never been like, oh yeah, I'm going to start collecting bones and throwing them. And,
yeah, and this whole time that all this stuff had been going on, they'd been having her collect these little random knickknacks, yeah, and put them in places.
Because my sister makes like jewelry, like taxidermy jewelry, so she's always giving me stuff.
Ave Rose.
Yeah.
Ave Rose.
Yeah. Ave Rose.
Is that at Ave Rose on Instagram?
I think it's Ave Rose 13.
It might be at Ave Rose 13 or on at Instagram. Ave Rose Art. I don't know. Just Google Ave Rose.
A-V-E-R-O-S-E.
Yeah, she does awesome work.
Yeah, so she was always giving me things, and they had me all, I had all these altars, like, in my room. It's funny, it sounds crazy, I had all these altars in my room, because the spirits told me to build them. But I had, like, all these different bones and things on my different altars, and then one day they were, like, open, and they told me they were offering bags, so I thought it was for them. And they told me, open the bag, put it in this other thing, this is going to be your bone throwing kit. And I'm like, what does it even mean? And you know, it just happened so naturally. I was intimidated. There's like over 60 pieces in my bone throwing kit. And I was actually able to
do the first time she did it. I was like so impressed. She was like a natural. Yeah. She just threw it. And then I'm staring at just this pile of little knickknacks.
Yeah.
And then she just starts like saying all of the stuff that, like,
I had never practiced it, and our friend was coming over, and they're like, you're gonna be reading her bones today. And I was like, oh, can I practice? And they're like, no, you're gonna just do it. And I was like, okay. So it's interesting, because when I'm doing it, I'm listening to spirit. I'm just channeling a message. I'm not reading the bones and interpreting it and making my own interpretations. I'm hearing what spirit's telling me. So basically the process of throwing bones is my ancestors and my guides and spirits are talking to the person, like the person that I'm reading, they're talking to their ancestors and their spirits, and they're telling me how to read these things for their health or what they should do. So I've been able to help my friends with their, you know, like, I've just been practicing, and a couple of my friends wanted readings, and one of my friends wasn't having work for 4 months, and he was pretty skeptical about the whole bone reading thing, but I was like, I don't know, like, let's just try it out. So we did a reading, I told him what he needed to do, and he, you know, soon after that was able to get work and orders. So he was like, I have so many questions, like, really excited about that. And also, I did one for Sig, and his great great grandmother popped up, mm-hmm, and she was actually able to give me her name, mm-hmm, so that was exciting.
Her name was May, and but it was, she even spelled it out, M-A-E.
Yeah.
And my mom looked at our family tree, and sure enough, her name is Ida May, and it was spelled M-A-E, and that's, yeah, like an interesting way to spell May too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's legit, man.
Yeah,
like, I am 100% believer, yeah, in this. So
yeah, at first I was very like iffy, like, I don't know if I should be doing this. I don't, like, really second guessing all of it. And they're like, you need to just trust your intuition, trust what you're hearing, because there's a lot that goes into setting up before I do the reading. So there's a lot of protection and things going on. So I'm a lot more confident now with my readings. And yeah, I'm happy to like be able to help my friends. So
yeah, and so pretty much she'll give me a bone reading every Sunday, and I kind of like tailor my week to it. And I've been like getting so much done. I've been learning so much about myself, and I just feel finally like I'm truly on my right path that I needed to be. And if you feel lost in life, you just got to get back in touch with the spiritual realm, because they're trying to help you get on track. Mm-hmm. And you have all your guides and stuff. They talk to you.
Yep.
It's that voice in your head and that you don't even realize it. And I had an interesting thought the other day, is that nobody, do you ever remember actually developing a relationship with your inner monologue?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if anybody actually does. Yeah. But we're just born. It's something that we hear inside of our heads. We hear voices. Mm-hmm. And then we're just told that that's us in our head. And that's all anybody ever explains about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's just you thinking your own thoughts.
I mean, sometimes it is you thinking your own thoughts.
Yeah, right. And but also, like, everybody knows you get these weird, sometimes terrible thoughts. And you're like, why? I would never think that.
Mm-hmm. Those weird what ifs that pop up, and you're like, why did I think that?
Yeah, that's or you get some, like, just strange things popping in your head. So it's not always you. And think about that, because, yeah, everybody just assumes it is because there's no really way to tell you that it's not or prove it any sort of way. But you know personally that you would never think some of the things that you think sometimes.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was an odd thought.
The important thing is you don't act on those things, though. You can't just be like, oh, it's not me that's putting these thoughts in my head. But as long as you're like...
So you're the gatekeeper.
Yeah,
you have
to have ownership, take ownership of what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a good point too, is if you're having a spiritual awakening and things are starting to happen, you have to follow your intuition, like that gut feeling that you truly deep down know it's right. Like if you feel like you're being guided to do something and it doesn't feel right, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of crazy spiritual thing, both good and bad energies, always at work on your mind.
Have your own moral compass getting into this. Know what's right and what's wrong. Like, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Even if the devil told you to, you know.
We use the example of the Abraham and Isaac story, is that, you know, he was legit going to kill his son just because God told him to. And Christians think, they praise Abraham for his faith in God. But really, the true moral of that story...
He's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He was about to kill his own kid because a voice told him to. Come on now.
Yeah. The real moral of that story is, if you fucking know it's wrong, even if a god tells you not to... Or tells you to do it...
Don't fucking do it. Yeah.
Yeah, we're...
Like, through all of this, like, I was telling... Like, because people were like... I was telling my friends, and they're like, you're not doing anything weird. I'm like, no, I'm not. And if they were to tell me something, like... to sacrifice a fucking chicken, I wouldn't do it, you know? It's not something I would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do things, you know, unless I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. So, ancestor-wise. So I think it's really important that, and this is probably another big episode that we could do, probably multiple episodes on what you can do with ancestral work. But for now, if people are interested and they want to start the process of connecting with their ancestors and helping to untangle their lineage, like what could they do?
You know, first is starting to establish a relationship with your ancestors. You know, talk to them like you would talk to your ancestors like you would living family members that you respect, like your elders, and just go from there. Like, I would light a candle and tell them basically you could talk to them like a regular person and say, like, hey, I need work, I'm not doing so well, maybe give me some insight on a job or whatever, and light a candle for them. They love energy. Like, spirits love energy, and it's your intent that you put into thinking about them that will really nourish the relationship that you have with your spirit guides and your ancestors.
And a lot of people, they get weird on this because they think of they're like two or three generations back, and they don't have the best relationship with their family.
Yeah.
Like, think bigger than that. Think, like, all the way back
to... ancient ancestors. Think Egypt, you know, like...
Yeah, even older than Egypt, too.
Yeah, you have a lot of ancestors who are rooting for you. They're there for you. And if you don't think that, you know, if you're like, well, you know, my ancestors are all, you know, probably racist back in the day, like, or they wouldn't approve of my lifestyle now, don't think of them that way.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have to go back to really old ancestors that are healed, and then they can be your guides. Because, not every not every dead person in your family is healed, and you don't have to listen to them. You don't have to cater to them. You got to find the good, clean, shiny guides for you.
Yep. And the deeper we get into spirituality and spirit work, we realize it's very important that you start thinking big picture.
Yeah.
And if you apply that thinking to your life, it can also really help, too, because too often we get stuck in our little patterns. We get stuck in our little bubble, and like very kind of minute things seem huge and monumental in our lives, but really once you start like widening your view a little bit, you realize that our lives are just a little drop in a infinite bucket, you know, like each lifetime. And so it's, yeah, really, really think all the way back to wherever human beings even started. That's your ancestry.
Yeah.
And the older you go back, the more those ancestors have had time to get it. I don't know exactly how it works, but I guess they call it getting to a healed space.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then I think somewhere along the lines, which is you mentioned earlier, that could lead to health problems, is that I think some of our ancestors aren't in a healed space. And I guess you can kind of imagine that of like in a little kink in the hose of energy that flows all the way to you. Like sometimes there's those little kinks there, and it's up to us living ancestors to make contact and pay attention to the ancestors and start to unkink that hose, because once you do that, it ripples through your whole family.
Yep. That's why there are patterns of like, you know, say like a woman was abused as a child. A woman was abused as a child, and then she and her mother was abused as a child, and her mother was abused as a child. There are ways that you can work with your ancestors to heal these patterns, and it'll heal that, and your generations after you will feel strengthened, and so will you.
Mm-hmm. And once you like, I don't know, develop a relationship with your ancestors, maybe light a candle for them, whatever you want to do, pay attention to how the rest of your family seems. Is their mood better? Did you somehow just, your relationship starting to seem to improve with your family? Like, it really, absolutely, I can vouch for this.
Yeah, I did a reading for him, and his ancestors spoke, and I told them that he needed to do this little ritual to heal someone in his line. And he did the ritual, and go on.
Yeah, and then now, like, there are parts of my family that haven't been talking, and then, like, right after I did that, they're talking again.
Yeah,
and
years of not talking, right?
Yeah, and it's, like, it was almost immediate after I did that, so
it affects your whole line.
Absolutely.
Also, when you think of ancestors, don't forget that it's not just your blood ancestors. You have ancestors that are from past lifetimes. So it's like a lot. There's like a huge team of ancestors that you have.
Yeah, we're trying to dissect this story a little bit, but it seems that you can reincarnate into different bloodlines. The physical blood DNA seems to be different somehow than spirit. We don't understand a lot of that, so I can't go
too
far.
We're just kind of all like, you have to think of yourself as part of a huge, huge line. And it goes to like, you know, being one with the universe, you know, that is, I am one with the universe, because you are.
And once you start accepting that, you'll find a lot more spiritual fulfillment in things. So, excitingly enough, now that Rani throws bones, we're going to start doing, she's going to do some readings on Twitch coming up. We're going to set a date, and then you guys can pop in, and she'll do readings for you guys. It's just going to be, readings can get pretty personal.
I'll do more general readings, because I'm not going to be like, oh, you're cheating on your, you know, you got to stop cheating on your boyfriend.
But
bones don't lie.
But she's also going to, we're going to get it set up to where she's going to offer personalized, like, over Skype readings, too. That's something that...
I'll do quick... because the way when I read bones, like, certain things vibrate, and that's the things that I pay attention to first. I'll do, like, general readings on the Twitch for people, you know, and see what pops up for them. But it's not going to be a whole thing, because an actual bone reading, it takes at least an hour, so...
Yeah. And we'll have the camera set up so you can see what she does. And, like, she's told me the meanings of the piece, because she basically applies a context to a piece, and then how that piece falls in relation to the other piece tells a story. And that's kind of, if you apply that thinking to your life, if you apply the right context to the things that happen to you in your life, you can start to discern messages from the spirit realm of what you need to do in life. And, you know.
Yeah.
So.
It's fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great talk, and I think you guys, I don't know, I really enjoyed this, so I'm going to have Rani on here a lot more, and we're going to
tell you more about spiritual hauntings, and...
Yeah, we didn't even give you a fraction of
all the so many other crazy fucking things happened, and we got into the ancestor stuff, which is good. I guess that was the message for today's, you know, spirituality.
I wanted to give a brief overview.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now here at the end of the episode, let's recap a little bit for people that are going through a spiritual awakening. What do they do?
Like, don't just try to find other people who are awakening. You know, if people are thinking that you're being weird, just know that you're not alone. Because you, like in the beginning of this, you might feel isolated because you're like, fuck, should I not say, why am I hearing things or feeling things? Just try to find people who are like you.
Again, follow that gut instinct.
Don't cover it up. Don't deny it. Go with it.
Yeah, if you have a friend,
be happy.
If you have a friend or somebody that you weren't gonna really tell them, but then something, you just had a feeling like, I should tell this person.
Yeah.
Tell them, because that's happened to us. And we told our friend, like Scott Hovey.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm not gonna tell him, but like, 3 sentences in from when I seen him, we just unloaded, and he's like, oh, I got you, dude. Like, I'm right there with you. And then that led to the Scott Hovey episode of this podcast. So we call it nudges. If you get a nudge and you feel like, maybe it's time to open up, and then they might be opening up and like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. Yeah. So
but
you
also
can help each other.
Kind of be cautious though too. Cause some people we thought were going to be cool with it and we're like, oh, they're like kind of weirded out. So,
but if they get weirded out, don't worry, because
don't worry about that.
Everybody, what we're learning is that you can't force someone to spiritually awaken. Or it's
going to happen when it happens for them. Yeah.
And then, because the universe, again, how it works is when it's time for them to wake up, the universe will make it very clear for them, and they will not miss the point.
Yeah, they will not miss the point.
So, yeah. So, well, thanks for doing this. We're going to do it a lot more. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
I am at Raniagogo, RANNIEAUGO. G-O on Instagram, and I think on Facebook
you're Rani Rodil cosplayer.
Rani Rodil. No, I'm just Rani Rodil.
Oh, okay.
R-O-D-I-L is my last name. Yeah.
Cool. And then, you know, follow our YouTubes, youtube.com/bizarroagogo, AUGOGO.
My Instagram isn't spiritual, though. It's more like me fucking off in, like, weird costumes and stuff like that. Like,
that's true. Maybe you should start a spiritual.
Maybe.
One, because it's
if I feel like it, I will. It's just like another thing.
Yeah. But,
I'll be like the next Miss Cleo. The cards don't lie.
Well, yeah, just
but
avoid
I won't
the
scam
lawsuits.
People, yeah.
All right. Well, catch me at SigNeutron on Twitter and Instagram. I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/SigNeutron, which is also where Randy will be doing readings. And then watch our social medias to see when that's probably in the next week or so. We're going to try to get that going.
I'll see how I haven't done it before. We'll see how doing it at a distance feels.
Yeah.
We're gonna, you guys can be my guinea pigs on the Twitch.
And I think that's about it. So, well, thanks for joining me, everybody. And until next time, stay weird, stay open-minded, and remember, if you're not looking, then you won't find anything.
Nice.
I need some kind of outro.
Well, that's the one.
I guess.